From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Maggie Wall. Coming up in this week's program, Sitka Sound sacro herring fishermen scoop up nearly half the year's quota in just two short openers. Alaska salmon permit holders are wondering how a proposed Navy training in the Gulf of Alaska will affect salmon. If you're a permit holder, expect to see a letter in the mail asking for your help. Also on this week's program, two events coming up. Tsunami Preparedness Week. Now's a good time to figure out what you will do with that vessel of yours if a tsunami is generated. And in Kodiak, it's time for the annual Comfish Alaska Trade Show. We'll have these stories and more after this.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
In Sitka, sacro herring fishermen had their second opener on Wednesday. It lasted all of 15 minutes and is believed to have netted 3,000 to 6,000 tons. The first opener, which took place on Sunday, was quite a bit longer, relatively speaking. The Sunday fishery lasted just over 3 hours. In that window, the fleet caught nearly one-fourth of this year's quota. From Kodiak, Mike Sarofchuk has details.
The Alaska Department of Fish and Game opened the Sunday, March 19th fishery in the waters of Hayward Strait at 2:30 in the afternoon and closed it down at 5:50 in the evening. Preliminary estimates from processors indicate that 3,500 tons of herring were hauled in, leaving 11,000 tons of the quota on the table. Eric Kuhnrat, fisheries biologist with ADF&G, said the fish was of good quality. He pegged average roe content at somewhere between 11 and 12%, making it very marketable fish for the fleet. It also means a decent price for fishermen. Now, turning to that super quick Wednesday opener, which was north of Sunday's fishery. It's too early to say, but Fish and Game expects the harvest to be anywhere between 3,000 and 6,000 tons. Kuhnrat said he won't know for sure until processors report on landings. Add Wednesday's catch to the first opener, and the fleet could be nearly halfway towards its 14,600-ton quota. Herring are harvested for their roe, which is sold to markets in Asia. I'm Mike Sarofchuk.
The multi-million-dollar fishery occurs in the few critical days between when the eggs mature in the female herring and the beginning of the spawn.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
The first 2 weeks in May is an important time for Alaska salmon fishermen and Alaska salmon. This year, something different is taking place in early May that has many salmon fishermen fearing for the safety of the stocks. The U.S. Navy plans military training exercises in the Gulf of Alaska May 1st through 12th as part of the Northern Edge 2017. Alaska salmon permit holders will soon see a letter in their mail asking for help in keeping the Navy portion of Northern Edge away from critical salmon areas. Emily Stolarczyk is coordinating the letter-writing effort. She is program director for the EYAC Preservation Council, which is based in Cordova.
Starting in a few days, every single commercial permit holder in the state of Alaska, whether you are a seiner, gill netter, set netter, should be receiving a letter from the EYAC Preservation Council. Inside that letter is an info sheet about the Navy's Northern Edge training that is scheduled for the first 2 weeks of May this year, as well as a letter to Senator Lisa Murkowski requesting that she be involved and speak up on behalf of her constituents. Additionally, there is an option for fishermen to check a box that would send a courtesy copy of the letter to the National Marine Fisheries Service, NMFS, as well as Pacific Command, which is the area of the Navy that's tasked with administering this exercise.
In a press release announcing the Northern Edge training, the Alaska Command said the activities, quote, are conducted with an extensive set of mitigating measures designed to minimize the potential risk to marine life. Stolarczyk emphasizes it is not the Navy or the exercises themselves, but the timing and location that are the big concern for salmon fishermen.
The U.S. Navy, along with other branches of the military, take place in this periodic training event. And what it's called, each of these training events have a name. This one in Alaska is called Northern Edge. And it happens both over land and over water. So the over water part is really the area that has my organization, communities in the area, as well as tribal groups concerned. And we are concerned over that because the Navy's training involves the use of live weapons, you know, real war weapons here, as well as active sonar. And they're going to be using this in areas that are designated essential fish habitat during a time of year when we are seeing immense amount of salmon, birds, and marine mammals come back into these areas.
Emily Stolarczyk with the EAC Preservation Council. You can learn more about the letter writing effort by going to summerisforsalmon.org. Wednesday, March 29th, is the anniversary of the Great Alaska Earthquake and Tsunami of 1964, which killed more than 130 people in Alaska, Oregon, and California. Many Alaskan fishermen can vividly remember that Good Friday as families in coastal regions prepared for evening dinner. Coastal communities up and down the coast were destroyed. Harbors, docks, fishing boats, and tons of land-based items were swept out to sea. March 26 to April 1st is set aside as Tsunami Preparedness Week. It's a great time to set aside a bit of your time to think about and plan out what you and your family will do the next time you hear a tsunami is heading your way. For instance, did you know that whether you are on shore or at sea, you need to have at least 7 days of supplies at the ready? That means if you opt to take your vessel out of the harbor, you'd better have enough fuel on board to keep that boat operating in gear and fighting the currents for a full 7 days. The 7 days of fuel is a lesson learned the hard way by Oregon fishermen who fled to sea in the hopes of saving their vessels following the Fukushima earthquake. We talked with Cindy Preller, who's the tsunami program manager for NOAA in Anchorage. She says fishermen should think good and hard before trying to take their vessels to sea to escape a tsunami.
This is only my opinion, but my opinion is leave the boats in the harbor because you have good insurance and your family needs you, so you should evacuate to high ground. There are those that would say if there are several hours before the tsunami arrives, they'd like to take their vessels out to sea to about 60 fathoms. You know, experience has taught us over the last few tsunamis that that really isn't necessarily the smartest thing to do. So my opinion is to just leave it and take care of yourself and your family.
Now, we were talking about what happened there in Oregon. Tell me that story, how they left and then they couldn't get back because the water wouldn't let them.
Right, the water wouldn't let them, and the harbors were destroyed in Oregon during the Japanese tsunami of 2011. And the currents, people don't seem to realize that the currents during a tsunami are just insane. They're crazy. They go in all sorts of directions, and they're very, very intense and fast. And those vessels off the shore of Oregon were at full throttle just to stand still.
That was 4 days later.
Yeah, actually, I think that might have been the third day in. The duration of the tsunami was 4 days. But, they did not have enough equipment. They did not have enough fuel. They were running out of fuel. And a storm system was coming in, and they did not have harbors to return to.
And so then what happened?
The Navy rescued them with aircraft carriers, which is very, very lucky. But, and we're lucky that there were Navy vessels near enough to go get them. That's not something we can count on.
You see, I have this hard time, Cindy. I'm having a hard time grasping this idea that this tsunami lasts for days and days.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work?
Well, when you take a magnitude 9 earthquake, has enough energy in it to power the planet for almost 100 years. So the energy in one of these earthquakes is, you know, absolutely significant. And it's moving the entire ocean column. That earthquake energy is traveling through the ocean column. And when the ocean bottom starts to shallow up, then it changes the dynamics of the tsunami significantly. And what we experienced was the tsunami traveled across the Pacific, and when it encountered the West Coast, it bounced off the coast and reflected back to Japan and Asia. And we had 3 full reflections in 4 days. It did not lose energy. There was so much energy from the earthquake. You know, if you think about making a small tsunami in your bathtub, it had enough energy to just keep rocking the basin for days and days and days.
NOAA's Cindy Preller. So, I've got a question for you. What are you going to do when you get the notice that a tsunami is on its way to your location? What about the boat? What about the house? What about your family? Tsunami Warning Week is a great time to talk it out and make sure everyone knows what to do and where to go.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by AK Teach, now enrolling K-12 homeschool students throughout the state of Alaska, creating partnerships that are flexible, family-friendly, and unique to your child. More information is available at AK Teach or at 907-942-0667.
Comfish Alaska is the state's largest commercial fisheries trade show. Each year, it brings new ideas, old fishermen, and cutting-edge technology to Kodiak. Mary Patterson has this report.
Comfish Alaska is both a fisherman's gathering and an educational experience. Fishermen have a chance to learn cutting-edge skills and see exhibits about historic fisheries. Stephanie De La Garza is the Community Relations Director for the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce, which hosts the annual event.
Comfish is the largest commercial fishing trade show located in a major Alaskan port. It's entering its 38th year this year, and so it's been going on for quite a while here in Kodiak, and we're very proud of it. It's a 3-day commercial fishing trade show and fishery forum that features a lot of information about the fishing industry, fish, people that are in the industry that come for the trade show, and it's really centered around just fishing because that's what Kodiak's all about.
This year's speakers include the Alaska Department of Fish and Game Commissioner Sam Cotton and Representative Louise Stutz, chair of the House Fisheries Committee. Comfish runs March 30th to April 1st in Kodiak. I'm Mary Patterson.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs, 1-800-992-4960, or online at alaskaboat.com.
That's it for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KCAW's Robert Woolsey and Emily Kwong. We also had help from Mary Patterson and Mike Sarofchuk in Kodiak. As always, a big thank you to our listeners and to everyone who helps make the Alaska Fisheries Report possible. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Maggie Wall.